We're doing Rosh Hashanah, we're up to Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, and we had seen in the Mishnah that Tanakama holds that relatives cannot combine to testify about the new moon, but a servant would be able to combine with his master to testify about the new moon. Rabbi Shimon had said that relatives do combine to testify. They do form a kosher edut, a kosher testimony. And then Rabbi Yossi quoted the story that the rabbis in the court accepted Tuvia the doctor with his servant to testify about the new moon, but they did not accept his son. Amar Rav Chanan. So now we're holding by the two dots. We had quoted Rabbi Yossi, quoted the story of Tuvia Arofe. Amar Rav Chanan Barava. Hilcheta. Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that we would accept relatives to testify about the new moon. Amale Rav Huna l'Rav Chanan Barava. Rav Huna asked him, Rabbi Yossi umase, you have in the Mishnah Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Yossi's halachic weight is greater than Rabbi Shimon. Halachic Rabbi Yossi. The halacha should be like Rabbi Yossi when he's arguing with Rabbi Shimon. And aside from that, you also have Maaseh. The Mishnah quotes a story. So Rabbi Yossi isn't only expressing an opinion, he's bringing testimony of how the courts actually ruled. Here you're telling me that Allah should be like Rabbi Shimon. Why? Amar lo, so he said, okay, you have a good point, but numerous times I said in front of your Rabbi Ravuna, your Rabbi is Rav, in front of him I testified, I said numerous times that the Allah is like Rabbi Shimon in this Mishnah. He didn't find it difficult that I should say that. So he was very sharp. So he asked him, Ravuna asked him, how did you quote the Mishnah? What did you quote as Tanakama's opinion and what did you quote as Rabbi Shimon's opinion? Amale Ipcha, he said, I reversed it from the way you quote the Mishnah. I said that Rabbi Shimon is the one that qualifies, that disqualifies relatives. That's how I quoted the Mishnah. And then in Rabbi Yossi's story, he said that the courts accepted the servant and not the relatives. The relatives and not the servant. So then I said, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon, that you don't accept relatives. So he said, yeah, that's why Rav didn't correct you. You said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, but you quoted you misquoted Rabbi Shimon. The opinion that you quoted in Rabbi Shimon's name is not his opinion. But that opinion is halacha. The halacha is that we do not accept relatives. You said that was Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Then you said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So he let it be. He didn't correct you. Amar Tevi, Brei Demari Tevi, Amar Marukva, Amar Shmuel, Hilchetak Rabbi Shimon. So we have over here a quote. That the halacha should be like Rabbi Shimon. We do have a quote in the name of Shmuel, that the halacha should be like Rabbi Shimon. And over here, the footnoters right away tell you, no. There's an error here. You have to add the word let Hilchatak Rabbi Shimon. Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. Because they're going on our Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. And technically Rabbi Yossi is a more powerful Tana than Rabbi Shimon. Plus Rabbi Yossi is quoting testimony of a fact.
Okay, so now please explain to me what he did there. Did he purposely reverse the opinion or get a different version?
I don't know.
If so, and Rav heard the opinion of Rav Yossi, he still heard Rav Yossi give an opinion and have a maaseh. So
right, but he knew that he had a version of the Mishnah where Rav Yossi in the maaseh said that you don't accept relatives.
So he had the correct version.
Rav had the correct version.
But he heard it.
He heard him get it backwards, but get the halacha right. So he didn't go. He didn't go into the nitty gritty with him. They ended up with the same bottom line.
Yeah, but if that gets passed down, the student could cause havoc. Like it just out to a couple lines of the Gemara.
Okay. That deserves a long class about how that works. But Mishnah. Elu en apsulin. So who is disqualified for testifying about the new moon? Hamsachek bekubiya. Someone who plays with their equivalent of dice. They used to make it from the bones of animals. And they'd bet on it. So technically, rabbinically, he has no right to take the bet when he wins. So even though biblically you're only a thief if you steal by night or if you grab something from someone's hand, but if it's based on a misunderstanding where we made a bet and I think that if I lost the bet you're entitled to take the money and really you're not in this type of betting situation, so then when you take the money you didn't grab it out of my hand, so technically biblically you're not a thief, you don't fall under either category of a biblical thief, you didn't come in the dead of night and take something out of my house. You didn't come and grab something from me. I agreed you should take it, only the halacha says that it was under false precepts. I thought I owed it to you. You thought you're entitled to it, but really you're not. So that's a rabbinic thief. That's a gazlan midrabanan. Rabbinically, he's a thief. Biblically, he doesn't fall under the category of a thief. So that's one type of person who's possible. He is disqualified from testifying.
He's not entitled to the money because he gambled?
No, because we say that when you gamble, if I'm going to roll the dice, and I'm going to say, if an odd number comes out of the dice, you take the money. If an even number comes out of the dice, I take the money. So then, even though we bet on 20 shekel, and we both know we bet on 20 shekel, you only entered the bet because you thought you'd win. So you don't give me the money wholeheartedly because you didn't really expect to lose. If you thought you'd lose, you wouldn't have entered the betting. So that's called a smachta, where we make a deal and it's not so clear, and it's not, and there isn't really a wholehearted giving in the deal. So technically, rabbinically, you're not allowed to take that money.
Couldn't there be a situation where you basically just enter a situation where you're hoping to get the money, but you're not?
There could be.
Expecting that you might get. I mean, a lot of gamblers, who aren't serious gamblers, expect to lose. They expect to lose, not serious.
There can be situations that way. There can be, yes. Okay. So, number one is Mischik Bekuvia. Number two is Malvei Beribit. When you give a loan and you take interest, even though the guy is willingly paying interest, so biblically you're not a thief, but rabbinically he's disqualified from being a witness. Umafrichei yonim, people who would gamble on doves, they'd have them fly and they'd bet on whose dove will get there first. So they'd have contests like horse racing, they'd have dove racing. V'socharei shvi'it, people who do business with the fruits of Shemitah. So you see that he doesn't respect the Torah when he thinks he can make some money, so then he can't trust him to testify because maybe they'll pay him off to testify falsely. V'avadim, and servants are possible biblically. Zaklal, so we have the following generalization. Anything you wouldn't accept a woman's testimony, you don't accept their testimony. There are certain things that you do listen to women, and that doesn't fall under the category of testimony, but rather under the category of ne'manu, trust. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You said to me that whatever a woman is disqualified for, they are disqualified for. Ha'ishak she'rala ha'fen she'rinna. Am I correct in deducing that anything you would accept for a woman, you would accept from them? For example, if a woman were to come and say, I saw so-and-so dead, so then we trust her and we let the wife get remarried. If a woman comes in and says, I saw this woman when she was a sota, when she was alone with this guy, and this happened, we trust her, and she doesn't drink the sota waters. So there are situations where I trust a woman's testimony. So am I correct in inferring from the Mishnah that whatever I do trust a woman to say, I would trust them as well? Amar Rav Ashi, zot omeret, gazlan de divrehen, sheirin leidut isha. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right in deducing that. And so Rav Ashi says, what we understand now is that if someone is a rabbinic thief, a gazlan de divrehen, he is kosher to testify about a woman, either to permit a woman to get remarried when we don't know what happened with her husband, or a situation where we have a sota. Now, says Rashi, Leidut isha la'atira linase ve'davka gazlan de divrayim, only if he's a rabbinic thief. Aval gazlan de oraita de chatzip la'avor b'faresia. But if he is a thief, the way the Torah describes, where he comes in broad daylight and grabs your wallet out of your hand, so then we don't accept his testimony, even in such dire circumstances, because he is so brazen to openly come and steal. The rabbi said, we can't accept his witness, his testimony for a woman. Even though they said, we'll accept testimony from a woman or a sermon where the Torah doesn't accept their testimony. But for such a dire circumstance, that a woman doesn't remain in aguna, we do accept their testimony, but not these people. Not a person who is a brazen thief. Mishnah.
Sorry, I understand the Mishnah. And is talking about everyone mentioned in the Mishnah?
Yeah. No.
So why are we deducing that
Gazlan de Divrayim is Kshirim? The Mesachek Bekuvia is a Gazlan de Divrayim. The things enumerated in the Mishnah are Gazlanim Midrabanan. When he gambles, we said, biblically it's not thievery. Rabbinically it's thievery.
We said in the Mishnah that they're disqualified
from testing. Rabbinically. The following people are rabbinic thieves. They're not biblical thieves.
Anything that a woman is kosher to get testimony?
Anything that a woman is not kosher.
So are all these people.
And we don't accept testimony from any of these rabbinic thieves, right?
Something that she is kosher to, even though they're rabbinic thieves. Why is it talking about only? Why is it not talking about Gazlan de Divrayim and not about any of? Why is it not talking about Avadim or any?
Well, an Eved is understood to be equal to a woman.
And everyone else is a thief, so Chrei Shvit.
So Chrei Shvit is a different reason. That's because I have reason to doubt that he will be faithful, because money gets him to overrule the Torah.
That's why I wasn't sure why Daki was saying
that. Yeah. מי שראה את החודש ואינו יכול להלך. If someone saw the new moon and he is not well enough to walk to testify, מוליכין אותו על החמור, so we bring him there on a donkey, אפילו במיטה, even if we have to put him on a bed, on a stretcher, we'll bring him in to testify. ואם צודה להם, and if it's Shabbos and they're worried that there's an ambush waiting, there's a group of no-gooders on the way, לוקחים בידם מקלות, so take along sticks. Come on, that's what you do when you have a problem. ואם הייתה דרך רחוקה, לוקחים בידם מזונות, and if you have to travel a distance, so you take along food. שעל מהלך לילה ויום מחללים את השבת ויוצאים לעדות החודש. If you can make it there in time, you have all night to travel after you saw the new moon, the rest of the night and the rest of the day, and you'll get there in time to testify, so then you do desecrate Shabbos, ויוצאים לעדות החודש, שנאמר, אלה מועדי השם אשר תקעו אותם במועדם. Hashem says, I want these dates to be set in their proper time, in their set time, which we understand to mean, even at the expense of Shabbos. הדרן הלך ארבעה ראשי שנים, הדרן הלך ארבעה ראשי שנים, הדרן הלך ארבעה ראשי שנים. חזקו ואמצו. משנה, יא.
I didn't understand. Why was he talking about drinking bread?
you're going to travel a distance, so you got to take along food.
Why is it tum?
You're traveling, it's Shabbos, you're carrying out of the tchum.
I'm assuming the bread is on the donkey already. On the wagon.
Okay. Who said you're taking a donkey? Maybe you're going by foot. If the guy's sick, you take him on a donkey. So if you go there by foot, you go there by foot.
This whole mission is talking about Shabbos?
Yes.
Even though there's a Seder.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's no Gemara in this?
So, Mishnah. Im enan makirin oto, mishalchin imo acher le'aido. If the courts don't recognize this witness, they don't know that he's a kosher Jew, so they won't know whether to accept his testimony or not. So we send another one with him to testify about him, that he's okay. And even if it's Shabbos, they're both traveling on Shabbos. Initially, any person that came and testified they saw the new moon, we'd accept it. When the Baitusim started ruining things, they tried to cause the courts to err, they pay false witnesses to come and testify. So then they instituted that we only accept testimony from those people who we already recognize, that they're good kosher Jews. So we said, if the courts don't recognize this witness, we send another one with him. Mai acher. Chad. What does it mean you send another one with him? It would seem to mean another single witness with him. Chad mi me'emin. Would the courts really believe one person who tagged along and came and said he's a kosher Jew? V'atanya ma'aseh shebahu ve'eda v'molaid alav. We have a brisa that says that he came with his pair of witnesses to testify about him. You see, he needed to bring along a pair to testify that he's a kosher Jew. Rav Papa says, yeah, that's pshat in the Mishnah too. When it says he comes with another one, it means another pair. Not that he comes with another person to testify about himself, but rather another pair. Achinami mistaba, and that's even what makes sense. They were talking about another pair. If that's not what it means, so then imenan makirin oto, mayoto. Now what does it mean when the Mishnah says, if the courts don't know him, what does it mean they don't know him? Mishpat ktiv bei ela mayoto oto azug achana mimay acher zug acher. So what? One witness can't get them to sanctify the new moon, anyways. So what does it mean if the courts don't know him? It means the courts don't know that pair. They don't know that pair. So then it says you send another one with him. It means another pair with that pair. Just like when it said, if the courts don't know him, it doesn't mean him the individual, but rather the individual pair. So too when it says they send another one with him, it means another pair with that pair. And really, you don't trust one person? Sahada achrina hava ba'adei ve'ahad lo chashiv lehem shum kvodosh Rabbi Nohrai. So the question wasn't the brisa, it says that Rabbi Nohrai went to testify that the Jew was kosher. So you see, you do trust one person. Amrei, the Bnei Yeshiva answered, Rabbi Nohrai really went with another witness, and the brisa doesn't mention it because Rabbi Nohrai was such an important rabbi, so it says he went to testify. Really, he went with someone else. You need two to testify that the person's a kosher witness. But the brisa didn't bother mentioning it because Rabbi Nohrai was so important. Rav Ashi amar, Rabbi Nohrai sada achrina hava beusha v'azal Rabbi Nohrai letzterufei ba'adei. Rav Ashi says, no, the story was totally different. The courts were sitting in Usha, and there was another witness there in Usha who would recognize this witness. So Rav Nohrai went to Usha to testify together with this other guy who was already in Usha about this witness that he's okay. Then what's the price of teaching me? I might think, You know, Rabbi Norai didn't call him before Shabbos to make sure this other witness is going to be there to testify that this guy is a kosher witness. Rabbi Norai is coming along with Mr. Joe Schmo, and he's assuming that Rabbi Norai's buddy is there in Usha to join the testimony. Well, who said? So, Rabbi Norai, the Bryce is teaching me that Rabbi Norai was Mechalel Shabbos, and he traveled on Shabbos with Joe Schmo to go to Usha, assuming that when he gets to Usha, he'll find his buddy at home, and together they'll testify that this guy is a kosher witness.